moved here to New Orleans about 3 years ago to start attending seminary after going to grad school for Spanish. The Lord really put it on my burden in my heart to preach God's word and to eventually be a pastor. And I'm here in New Orleans attending seminary. And in the long term, within the next year and a half or so, my hope and vision is to plant a new work, a new church in Orleans Parish, most likely in Uptown, but we'll see what the Lord has in store. I'm going to pray for us before we read God's word, that he might reveal himself to us. Dear Lord, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for your grace and your mercy that we've just sung about. Lord, it's not by accident that each and every one of us are here this morning, God. We're here because you have a purpose for us to be here this morning, to learn from your word, to worship you, to be filled with your spirit, to go out into this world to be witnesses of your glory and your grace and of the gospel message of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we ask, Father, that this morning you would fill our minds, open our minds and our hearts to your word. Make us moldable, God, that we might receive your word and then conform our lives accordingly, that we might glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's read this verse together, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. It says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy, pleasing, and acceptable to him. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." And oftentimes, this is one of my favorite verses. This has been one of my favorite verses from the time I came to know the Lord in high school. And it really gets at the heart of a core issue for us in the Christian life, which is worship. How is it that we worship the Lord? And this verse specifically talks about that. But before we even get into talking about what it means to live our lives as spiritual acts of worship, to offer our bodies as living sacrifices to the Lord, to renewing our mind, which is the specific theme that we want to dive into today, renewing our minds, or even living in God's will, the first thing that we have to look at and examine, and Paul lays out for us right here at the beginning of this verse, he says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy." So obviously, this verse comes in the middle of the book of Romans, right? So like, we use that "therefore" interjection as a cause and effect relationship. So as I said, man, that restaurant is really excellent, therefore, we're going to eat there for lunch after church today, right? There's a cause and effect. So before we get into this passage, we've got to understand what prompts that therefore. We've got to examine a little bit of the rest of the book of Romans. Paul, when he wrote Romans, and some theologians and scholars today think that Romans, of any books in the Bible, if Paul were to sit down and write a theology, if he were to write out the most basic beliefs of our Christian faith, the book of Romans would be the place to go. And specifically here, we're talking about God's mercy. In view of God's mercy. And that's what we sing about. And God's mercy is the message that we have to start with. And that's the message for some of us here this morning. Earlier on in the book of Romans, in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, I believe it's going to be there on the screen for us. Paul writes and he says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." And that is part of what the gospel message entails for us, that you and I are sinners, not just yesterday and today, but from since our birth. We've inherited the sin nature from Adam on, and none of us are without excuse. We could all raise our hand here and say, "Yeah, I've committed sin in my heart, not just once, but throughout the course of my life." And because of that sin in our hearts that we carry, it separates us from the eternal, holy, and glorious God. Not only in this life, but in the life to come. We cannot truly spend eternity with God being in a sinful state, carrying that sin in our hearts. So we need a remedy. We need a rescue. We need a ransom, as the song talked about. And so here the verse says that the wages of sin is death, not just death in this life, which will befall us all and come on us all, but death eternally as well. If we enter into God's presence with sin in our hearts, not only can we not spend eternity within him in heaven, but we will suffer eternally for the consequences of our sin and eternal punishment. And so that's something serious for us to consider this morning as to, man, do I still carry sin in my heart? Have I really entered into a place of holiness to be able to enter into God's presence eternally. And the interesting thing is that you and I, there's no way we can be holy or live holy in and of ourselves. We need God to come impact us and change us. And God knew that eternally, and so he made his plan to send his perfect son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to come and live the perfect life that you and I can't live, to die the horrific death, sacrificial death, that you and I can't die because of our sin, and then to raise from the dead, to resurrect from the dead 3 days later, forever conquering sin, death, and hell, to give us the newness of life in Christ. That is the gospel message. That is the foundation of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the reason that we come here on Sundays to worship the Lord, and it's the reason that we seek to live our lives for him, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I got to ask, we have to start with that question before we even investigate the rest of the text. Have you received Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Have you really recognized the sin in your life and in your heart that eternally separates you from an almighty and holy God? And said, Lord, I need to repent of my sins. I need to receive Jesus for the forgiveness of my sins that I may eternally be able to live with you in this life and in the life to come. Ask yourself that question. Therefore, brothers, in view of God's mercy, have you seen God's mercy? Have you experienced his mercy? That is the premise and the foundation for what we're going to study today. Some of us might be feeling trapped, enslaved, empty, and it's because we've not received Jesus Christ. We've not really seen God's mercy. But for those of us who have seen, experienced, lived God's mercy because the Holy Spirit comes to fill us after we've recognized Christ as our Lord and Savior, Paul gives us an admonishment and encouragement, which is the focus of our sermon today and our lesson today. He says, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercies, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. And the title for the sermon today was Spiritual Worship, Renewing Your Mind. Because oftentimes in Christian culture, perhaps here at church or wherever around, or we listen on the radio, and we hear that term worship, and we got to ask ourselves, what does worship really mean? Oftentimes, worship has simply come to mean the songs that we sing in order to prepare our hearts to maybe come hear the sermon or to reflect on the Lord. And it's just the songs that we offer up. But Paul here is telling us something, that it's something much more important and bigger than that. And that our worship is our entire lives. Our worship is our entire lives, that we might offer our bodies as a living sacrifice to God, offer our lives to God as a sacrifice to him. Paul, in writing to the church in Rome, and specifically to the Roman culture, pagan culture at the time, the idea of sacrifice and worship were distinctly parallel and linked and were completely relevant for everyone. When they thought of worship, they thought of sacrifice, pagan sacrifices, where they would go sacrifice whatever crop that they brought or whatever animal that they were going to sacrifice or whatever coins they were going to offer up to the temple worship. There was implicitly sacrifice involved in worship. And for us in Christ, the eternal sacrifice to make us pleasing to God has already been made for us through the Lord Jesus Christ. But Paul is talking about here in response to that mercy that the Lord wants us to not come and need to offer our first fruits, even though we do that in response to the Lord. We don't need to offer up just songs. We need to offer up our entire lives as worship to the Lord God, pleasing to him, because of, motivated by, the mercy and grace that he has shown us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we offer up our bodies as living sacrifices not to earn God's eternal favor, because Christ has done that for us on the cross, but rather as a response to live to please him because of what he has done for us. And the key phrase when he talks about our living sacrifice, Paul tells us that we're to live as holy and pleasing to God. And as Christians, this is oftentimes difficult for us because many of us have entrusted our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. We've said, Lord, I want to follow you. I want to live for you. I want to dedicate my life to you. But oftentimes we find ourselves not living our lives in a way that is holy and pleasing to God. Sometimes we just want to throw our hands up and say, man, This holiness thing, it's too difficult. I just can't do it. Even sometimes as Christians, having the Holy Spirit in our hearts, we feel trapped by maybe our habitual sins, or our repeated sins, or our secret sins, whatever they may be. And we say, man, I'm not really living in the freedom and the holiness that I once did in Christ, or that I know I should be living in Christ. That holiness, that living to please God, it seems to escape me. What can I do? What is it that I can break through to really live a holy life that is pleasing to God, that I might worship Him not only in the songs that I sing, but in the life that I live? Maybe some of you are feeling that way this morning. You're coming in, and the sins that you've been committing are heavy on your heart, and they're impeding your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and you feel exhausted. You feel enslaved. You feel like you can't break through into a life of holiness that God wants you to live, and that is His will for you to live. And so we got to ask ourselves, what is the key to holiness? What is the fundamental key to holiness that our text wants to, that the Lord wants to reveal to us through our text this morning? Something important for us to consider in terms of holiness comes in verse 2. In verse 2, where Paul says, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." And so as Christians, transformed by the Holy Spirit, God wants us to not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. The way that we live should look entirely different, radical, unique to the world that sees us. They should see our lives, see the way that we interact, the way that we carry ourselves on a day-to-day basis, and say, man, there's something unique about that. There's something different about that. There's something non-conforming about that. So we got to ask ourselves, am I conforming myself to the pattern of this world? In what ways am I conforming my life to the pattern of the world compared to the way that I know God wants me to live in holiness? So guys, as Christians, our encouragement is to live differently. Live holy. Live in a way that is not just implicit and complicit with everything else everyone else is doing, or everything that the world wants you to believe and think. You know, Satan is real. Satan is not a figment of our imagination. Satan is not some little guy with a pitchfork and horns that comes around every once in a year at Halloween. Satan is the eternal enemy of the Father God. He is roaming around like a roaring lion, seeking to kill and destroy our lives. Even as Christians, and especially as Christians, Satan wants to distract us, to lie to us, to deceive us by getting us to not live our lives according to God's will. And the number one way that Satan attacks us is in our minds, is in our thoughts, is in the way that we think. And so when Paul here tells us to not conform, the very next line, he says, be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Be transformed by the renewing of your minds. And so we've got to ask ourselves, man, how do I live holy? How is it that I can live my life, as we talked about, as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God? I've got to be renewed in my mind. I've got to be proactively thinking, what are the thoughts that are coming into my mind, that are flooding my mind, filling my mind constantly? Whatever kind of obsessive thoughts you might have, or any casual thoughts that you might have that might distract you from God's will, what are those thoughts in my mind that Satan is feeding me, that the world is feeding me, to keep me from living a life that is holy and pleasing to God? Because all of our actions, any and every action that we take in life that becomes sin, it begins with a sinful heart, but it plays out because of the thoughts that we think. We have to think that sinful thought or action has to come to our mind first, and then in our mind we think that and then carry it out. So how can we renew our minds, transform our minds to be able to live holy lives pleasing to God? I've got three cues for us to think about in terms of renewing our minds in Christ. And, you know, good old Baptist sermon seminary, we're going to have 3 points. So 3 points to renewing our minds. How is it that we can renew our minds? The first thing that we've got to do to really renew our minds is to be in the Word of God, to be active in God's Word. As a Christian, that's so easy to kind of throw out there, and you hear about it all the time, but what are you really doing to let God's Word manifest itself in your life? Are you meditating daily on God's Word? Do you have a plan to study God's Word? It's very, especially in the day of apps on your phone or whatever the case may be, there's so many tools to help you actively study. There's little email reminders they can send you, whatever the case is. There's so many active tools that make it easier for us to study and get into God's Word every day so that God's Word can penetrate our minds and allow us to live our lives accordingly. Jesus knew this. Jesus knew that the key to freedom in Christ is through the Word of God and transforming our minds in the Word of God. There's going to be a verse up here on the screen. It's John chapter 8. You don't have to turn there, but maybe jot it down or read on the screen. John chapter 8, verses 31 through 32. And it reads, "To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, 'If you hold on to my teaching,'" some translations say, "if you hold on to the word of God, if you hold on to my word, 'you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.'" The truth will set you free. Satan is the father of lies. He's the father of lies. And throughout the week, he bombards your mind with lies. You're not good enough. You are defeated. You cannot live free from this sin that has enslaved you. You need to be like everyone else. You need to have those worldly desires and just think about yourself. Those are all lies of Satan. God's will for you in Christ is to live free. And how is it that you can live free? Except by living in, meditating on, studying, memorizing the truth of God's word, guys. The truth will set you free. So if you're suffering from oppressive thoughts, if you're suffering from oppressive voices from the enemy, are you embracing the truth of God's word in your life? Think about that as a challenge for you this morning. How is it that I can grow in God's word to fill my mind and focus my mind on God's word that I might be able to live my life in a way that's holy and pleasing to God? Secondly, in renewing our minds, Paul talks about, and the Bible talks about something specifically, which is living in the Spirit or feeding the Spirit. We've got to feed the Spirit. That's our second piece to renewing our mind. Feeding the Spirit, feeding our minds, and focusing our minds on the Spirit of God. Paul writes earlier in the same book of Romans, which is our key passage for today, in chapter 8, verses 5 through 7, Romans chapter 8, verses 5 through 7. It's here on the screen for us. Listen to what Paul has to say to us through the Holy Spirit. "Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so." So the sinful mind cannot submit to God's law. It's not able to because it's enslaved to the sin. If you're living according to the sinful nature, the likelihood is that your mind is set on your sinful nature. Your mind is set. Instead of having your mind set on the Spirit, your mind is set on the flesh. Those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. And so we got to question ourselves, what am I feeding my mind? What am I feeding my mind? Am I feeding my mind with the things of the world, the things of the enemy, with the flesh, with my desires for more money, with my desires for carnal relationships, my desires for approval, my desires for whatever the case may be? You know your struggles. Am I feeding my mind with those things, or am I feeding my mind with the Spirit? A huge part of this for me in my life is played out in what I watch on TV, what I listen to music, the things that permeate my mind every day. So the media feeds our mind and floods our mind, and it's Satan, one of Satan's greatest tools to fill our mind with these lies and things of the flesh. So I got to ask myself, okay, if I'm listening to music that is inherently violent, is inherently glorifying drunkenness or living for only myself and living to party and all these different things, aren't those the things that are going to flood and tempt my mind? If I'm on the internet and I'm looking at inappropriate things on the internet, aren't those the thoughts and images that are going to flood my mind? In comparison, if I'm feeding my mind with the things of the Lord, if maybe when I'm driving in the car, it's easy and you can find some Christian music that you enjoy, or a pastor's sermon that you know is going to benefit you, or whatever the case is, just those subtle little small things to shift your mind over to feeding your mind with the Spirit of God, as opposed to the lies of the enemy and the desires of the flesh. So feed your mind with the Spirit of God. Thirdly, in terms of renewing our minds, we've got to take our thoughts captive. We've got to take our thoughts captive. Paul writes about this in a different letter in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, if you're jotting that down. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, he says, "We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." Take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Guys, I don't know if you know this or not, but if you have the Holy Spirit in your life and in your heart, the Holy Spirit enables you to take control of your thoughts. He enables you to take control of your thoughts. And so oftentimes when I find myself in sin, if I find myself living in a way that I know is not pleasing to the Lord, I can often trace myself back and recognize that I allowed my thoughts to be really casual and not controlling or being even mindful of my thoughts, and allowing those thoughts and that evil mindset, that sinful mindset, to just perpetuate itself and kind of, you know, trickle off the bridge, let's say. Right? And I just kind of walk around aimlessly, not really recognizing the thoughts that are filling my mind and allowing my mind, the thoughts to fill my mind. And even though they may be sinful or covetous or whatever the case may be, just allowing those things to continue to permeate. I'm going to think about this. I'm going to think about this. I'm going to think about this. What you don't realize is that you in the Spirit have control of those thoughts. The Spirit has given you the power to take those thoughts captive. And so we've got to be meditating on God's word to be able to filter those thoughts through our minds to think, okay, is this thought, this way that I'm thinking, glorifying to the Lord? Can I change my thought process here immediately to think about the things that are more glorifying to the Lord? And Paul writes about this again in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. What does he say? He says, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." So guys, don't think about, try to prioritize thinking about things that are praiseworthy, thinking about things that you know please and glorify the Lord. It's so easy to let our minds wander and to let our minds be aimless. I suffer with it greatly. Just living my life casually and allowing my mind to just kind of relax. And then when that happens, well, relax is not really a bad thing. Allow my mind to become too casual and not taking my thoughts captive, allowing those evil thoughts to fill my mind. Take your thoughts captive. Focus and think on the things that you know to be pure and lovely. How is it that you can do that in your life? What are the barriers that you need to set up in your life to think about things that are pure? What are the ways that you can proactively think about things that you know are glorifying to the Lord and are praiseworthy, as Paul outlines for us in this passage in Philippians chapter 4? And so once again, Satan is seeking to steal, kill, and destroy our lives and our joy in Christ. His will is for us to be enslaved to our sin even after coming to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, so that we might not live out God's purpose for our lives. And in the last part of the passage from today, Paul says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And lastly, he says, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So if we're living in holiness, if we're living our lives as living sacrifices pleasing to God, it is then that we will clearly see, experience the freedom, and be able to live out our lives in God's will, knowing that we're living in God's will, and being able to test and approve what God's will is for our lives. So oftentimes we think of God's will, we ask, Lord, what is your will for my life? And oftentimes that question comes up when we're making big long-term plans. We're thinking about a new job opportunity, or we're thinking about where we're going to move, or if we're single, we're thinking about who we're going to marry, or whatever the case may be. And we think, Lord, what is your will for my life in this area? And it's these big long-term questions, but in reality, God's will also is present for us in the day-to-day. God's will for us is to live a life that's sanctified and holy and pleasing to him, which is what our verse is talking about. That is God's will for your life. And so if you renew your minds, if you are living in God's word, if you're filling your mind with the Spirit, if you're feeding the Spirit, and if you're taking your thoughts captive, it is then that you'll be able to live your lives in a holy way that you know you can live in God's will. And God's will becomes more and more and more clear to you in terms of, Lord, what is your will for me this day that I might carry my life out in a way that is glorifying to you? So to end here today, the questions that we've got to ask ourselves are, first and foremost, have I viewed God's mercy? Have I really been transformed by the renewing of my mind because I know that the Holy Spirit is living in me? And if the Holy Spirit's not living in you, if you've not recognized Jesus as your Lord and Savior to bridge that gap between you and the Father, then today is that day for you. Today is the day of salvation. Today is your opportunity to recognize I have this sin that enslaves me, that keeps me from really experiencing God, and I want to experience God today. The way to do that is through making Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life, by recognizing his sacrifice on the cross and believing in his resurrection for your freedom from the sin that's going to enslave you eternally. That's the first question. Do you know Jesus, and have you viewed his mercy? Specifically with our passage today, we also need to think about what are the ways that Satan consistently attacks my mind. What are the things that I consistently think about that I know distract me from God's will for my life? What are the voices that I hear, that I know are not really God's will for my life? Ask the Lord to reveal those thoughts to you, to set those thoughts captive, aside, that you might submit them to Christ and that Christ might renew your minds. So once we've asked the Lord to reveal those thoughts that bombard our minds consistently and lead us astray from God's will for our lives, what are the active ways that I need to take those thoughts captive and embrace a mind that is renewed and transformed in the Lord Jesus Christ? And those three ways specifically are setting your mind on God's word, feeding the Spirit, not the flesh, and taking your thoughts captive in the Holy Spirit, in the power of Christ. I'm going to pray for us. I'm going to ask that every head be bowed and every eye closed. And we're going to pray. And now is your time to do business with the Lord in your own heart, wherever he has you today.